This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news and a talk of risk and liability in the wake of a tragic accident last month at Starved Rock State Park. We'll also have a look at our forecast for the week ahead with AM 580 meteorologist Scott Oltoff. First, today's news. It used to be a rare event when the Illinois legislature called a committee of the whole. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, that's no longer the case, and another one is scheduled for this week at the Capitol.
Committees of the whole are different than regular meetings of the legislature. It's an opportunity for a chamber to meet at length on a single issue. This time, that issue is the state budget. Speaker Mike Madigan's called the Illinois House to a committee of the whole on Wednesday to debate budget bills. Governor Rod Blagojevich had already called the General Assembly back from their summer break to Springfield because he says the legislature's budget is out of balance. It's widely expected that during the committee of the whole, Madigan will expose flaws in Blagojevich's budget plans. It's become a pattern for Madigan to call these sessions, particularly when he wants to drag Blagojevich through the dirt. Last year, Madigan called one during a public frenzy over rising electricity rates that pointed out the governor's lack of action on the matter, and another before killing off the governor's controversial tax increase plan. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
State Representative Bill Black says he fully intends to be in Springfield for the special session this week, but the Danville Republican admits he finds Governor Blagojevich's call for the two-day session pointless, saying House Democrats are mad as heck and have no intention of approving Blagojevich's revenue proposals in order to balance a proposed $59 billion budget. But Black says the governor should pay attention to talk of an impeachment resolution against him, which has been discussed among some House Democrats. Black says that could produce an ongoing legislative session, similar to last year's.
Even if you pass a resolution impeaching the governor, the Senate acts as the jury, and I don't believe that the president of the Senate, Emil Jones, is prepared or willing at this time to actually act on an impeachment resolution that the House may very well send him. So it just looks like another stalemate.
Black says it appears no progress will be made as long as the relationship between the governor, House Speaker Mike Madigan, and Senate President Emil Jones remains toxic. Black says the most likely scenario would involve the governor making cuts and then lawmakers agreeing on overriding the veto this fall. Legislators are expected back on Wednesday. Because a legislative deadline is passed, though, it'll require a 3/5 majority to pass any of the governor's revenue plans. Illinois AIDS activists are warning some people in need of medication might have to forego treatment if money is cut from the state budget. Sean Crawford has that story.
The price of drugs that treat HIV and AIDS continues to go up, and for those that earn just beyond what makes them eligible for a drug assistance program, there's a choice to be made. John Peller is with the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. He says patients who earn slightly more than the cutoff for eligibility are having a hard time keeping up with the rising costs.
They're really stuck between earning more money and being unable to afford their medication and you know, getting extremely sick and you know, possibly ending up hospitalized or dead.
Peller says many patients choose to cut back the hours they work so they lower their income. $1 million in the state budget would go to expand eligibility for the drug program. Peller says at least 150 people would benefit from the change. But the money is at risk. Governor Rod Blagojevich says he'll veto the dollars unless state lawmakers approve more revenue to cover the state's bills. Blagojevich has also threatened to cut funds for more HIV testing, which supporters say would identify thousands living with the virus that are unaware they have it. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Green Party candidate for a Southern Illinois congressional seat died suddenly over the weekend. Vic Roberts was 75. He was running in the 19th district, now held by Republican John Shimkus. Green Party spokesman Rich Whitney says Roberts had just attended a parade on Friday, but apparently died in his sleep sometime Friday night or Saturday morning. Roberts was a retired coal miner from Taylorville who was known for wearing a miner's hat at campaign appearances. Members are being sought for a new committee to study the Urbana School District's building needs and then report to the school board next spring. AM580's Jim Meadows reports.
District 116 Board President Mark Netter says they're looking for 12 to 15 Urbana residents to study the district's overall facilities needs. The school board is encouraging applications from people with backgrounds in areas like construction, engineering, planning, and architecture. But Netter says he also wants to see all parts of the District 116 community represented.
Ideally, we'd have representatives from each one of our individual school communities. They could be a teacher or a parent. The Urbana Business Community, the Urbana Education Association. We'd like to get somebody from the city of Urbana involved, and perhaps an ministerial alliance, and really any other interested citizens.
Netter says the Urbana School Board currently has a general idea of its facilities needs, a new building to replace the Washington Early Childhood Center, and upgrades for elementary schools that don't have central air conditioning or multipurpose rooms. The total cost for these projects comes to about $29 million. Netter says they're counting on the Facilities Committee to set priorities. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
State officials say the number of deaths in work zones along Illinois highways is down because of strict enforcement. In 5 years, the number of deaths in construction zones has fallen from 44 in 2003 to 21 last year. State officials credit the decline to a blitz of highway signs, ad campaigns, and increased enforcement. That includes photo enhancement vans that catch motorists who drive too fast. The vans are stationed at construction zone sites, and they issue a $375 ticket to anyone who drives over the posted speed limit. Illinois State Police spokesman Scott Compton says the vans are another way the agency hopes to reduce deaths and accidents in work zones. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A 7-year-old boy fell into a canyon at Starved Rock State Park about a week ago. The news story got commentator Amy Guider thinking about risk and liability. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I admit that I have a thing about heights. I really don't much like mountain roads, for instance. Ever since a literal life-in-the-balance experience along a steep, guardrail-less, muddy path for cars that we inadvertently found ourselves on in Levanto, Italy. It's somewhere near where Princess Grace perished, if that makes it easier to imagine our predicament. So it's not much fun going hiking with me. And it just gets worse for my family when I read stories like the one about the little boy who fell and slid 90 feet down into a canyon at Starved Rock State Park in late June. He survived without serious injury. The real problem is the I told you so lecture that my family hears after such an event, sometimes saved for our next visit to the park, our next visit to any place high. Always be careful on trails, they can get slippery. Pay attention to signs, the signs are there because people have fallen nearby. And I can prove not only that someone fell from that same trail, but also that my sense of danger is absolutely correct in a legal sense. Thanks to the miracles of the electronic age, I have access to hundreds of thousands of court decisions chronicling the slips and falls of virtually every American footpath. When we visited Starved Rock for the very first time and my breath was taken away both by its beauty and my mind-numbing fear, I came home and set about proving my point about the dangers. The plaintiffs in reported cases rarely win, and it's often precisely because of the dangers that I see around every curve. Courts call it assumption of the risk when one hikes along a steep trail bounded by a gorge, all the more assumed when that cliff-gorge combo is called Dead Man's Point or some other daredevil moniker. The sandstone bluffs have been eroded by wind and water for centuries, one court warned when writing about Starved Rock with travelogue-type reasoning, creating a very interesting but also a very rugged and dangerous area. And then this key language from another court. Claimant should have foreseen that if one should, for any reason, fall at the particular place involved herein, such person would in all likelihood fall into the bottom of the canyon. My point exactly. Every single case I found denied any recovery to or for the fallen, many times because the court explicitly found that the person who fell made the choice to hike along or even bike along that particular path. He or she assumed the risk of the dangers that one can see just by looking. Whenever my husband and kids go on a hike in some exotic location without me, like a recent walk on the Appalachian Trail, they always take a photo of the caution steep cliff type sign along the path. The documentation is apparently meant as some sort of vindication of the tale they live to tell. I find my vindication, thank you very much, in the law books. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. We've had a lot of rain, in some places several inches, throughout the early morning hours of our Monday. And meteorologist Scott Olthoff says more could be on the way. Today in central sections of the two states, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely this morning and again this afternoon. It'll be warm and humid across the two-state area. Showers and thunderstorms are possible this afternoon elsewhere in the two states as well. The highs today ranging from 83 north to 93 in the south, 88 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows from 68 to 72, 71 here in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, continued warm and humid. Showers and thunderstorms are again likely. Some could be severe and produce very heavy rainfall. Tomorrow's highs from 83 north to 94 south, 87 in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms are possible early, then partly cloudy, the low 67. Sunny and less humid for Wednesday with a high of 84. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.